bringing the stories of people just like us directly into your home and learning more about them. This is Trent Speaks. Sometimes my guests tell me, you know, I don't know what I want to talk about this week. But it's also funny because sometimes I have no idea who my guests are. And what I mean by that is I have mentioned before, I find my guests sometimes on a Facebook group and I talk to them and get them scheduled for the podcast and everything. So sometimes I don't know anything about them. They say, hey, I'm interested in being on the podcast. And I say, cool. And then I don't know where to begin because I don't have any details about them or don't really know what it is that they would want to talk about. And that is the key to being a good podcaster in my mind. Knowing how to interview someone, how to pick those things out that they say, and how to get them to elaborate and be more open to sharing their story. And so that was no different than with this week's guest, Lorena. Cool. So I'm here talking with Lorena this week. Lorena, welcome into the Trent Speaks podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. So, you know, sometimes I like to start just as broad as saying, like, what's your story? How have you gotten to where you are today? What is it that you want to share with us today?
That's a great question. So I was born and raised here in Miami, Florida. I'm 33 right now, and for the past 13 years, I've been doing life and health insurance, helping families and business owners with their financial protection needs. A little bit more about me, let's see. I play the piano, and I've played in a few different bands. I played in a pop rock cover band. We played like 80s and 90s songs. And then I also joined like a tribute band to the Velvet Underground, which I had no idea what that was until I joined that band. And that was an interesting experience.
What is the Velvet Underground? I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, it's like, it's this band from like the 60s or 70s that apparently was very influential to other musicians. In like the rock, like singer songwriter type, but more like rock kind, I guess. Not like heavy metal or anything like that. Just like regular music, I guess. So it was interesting.
Well, and did you play like keyboard or something in the bands?
Yeah, so I played keyboards. And let me see, I can tell you the name of the like the lead singer of the band. He was like really popular, I guess. Honestly, I also, Lou Reed is the name of the singer and the guitar. So yeah, they're very influential, it seems, to like other bands. And they were like sponsored by, what's this guy's name? The artist, the one that did like those Campbell soups. slipping my mind. Let me see here. Campbell's and I'm sure it'll come up. Andy Warhol. He was like He was like very he really backed the band and like he really believed in the band a lot. The Velvet Underground, led by Lou Reed. So that was something interesting I did a few years ago. But that all of that, like the music stuff, is just for fun. I don't make a living out of that or make any money. It's just, you know, a hobby, I guess.
Yeah, how did you get into all of that? That's not something a lot of people necessarily get into. How did you find out about it, and what is it that really drew you into wanting to do that?
Sure. So I had played piano since I was a kid, like 8 or 9, around there I started. And, you know, they teach you the traditional type of piano, which is good, you know, like learning to read music and your fingering and all that stuff. But I feel like there's a big lack in the music teaching, I guess, industry, you know, to really teach kids, like, songs that they like or to figure out chords, you know, like, because if you play guitar, all they teach you is chords and it's very simple, but piano, they make it a lot more complicated than what it needs to be, in my opinion. So yeah, so I had started playing like backgrounds, keyboard in the band at my church at first, like violins and things like that. So that's where I really learned about chords and how you could use that on the piano. And then I taught myself more about playing by ear and how to figure out melodies and things like that. And eventually, I was like the main keyboardist at my church for like, I don't know, like a lot of years. And then I found this this business that they do. What they do is they teach kids how to play music that they like, you know, what you hear on the radio and things like that. And they happen to have like an adult group on Tuesdays. So I just thought, let me call. Maybe they don't have anyone that plays a keyboard, and they didn't. So that's how I joined that. That was like the 80s, 90s cover band. And then from there, the drummer was doing that, the Lou Reed tribute with another band. So they asked me to join them. So that was like a one-time thing, the Velvet Underground tribute thing.
Yeah, that's awesome, though. I actually, in high school and even before high school, I was playing violin. And actually, a good friend of mine, you know, you mentioned playing by ear. My friend, he could read music, but he was more of that type of person where if he heard it, he'd be able to, like, recreate it, basically, because of that whole listening ear. So, yeah, you're right. That's not an easy task. So props to you for being able to do that.
Yeah, it wasn't easy at first. You know, I'm like, I don't get it. But, you know, I just stuck with it and eventually, I mean, I'm not like that where, like, I can listen to something and immediately do that. I have a friend that does that, but that's something that, like, you're born with or, like, very early on as a kid, you develop that, you know? So it's like everything.
And I know you said at the top of the podcast, what it is you do. Did you say you do some sort of insurance stuff right now?
Yeah, so I have an agency with my mom here in Miami where we do life and health insurance. So we do everything digitally over the phone or the computer because people nowadays are very busy, and I don't know about you, but I don't like strangers coming into my house.
Right. You never know nowadays.
You never know. And, you know, and being a woman too, like, I remember, like, driving places, like, at 8, 9 o'clock at night, and I'm like, man, where am I going to walk into tonight, you know? Thank God nothing ever happened weird or, you know, nothing. But, in the back of your mind, my mind, I always had that, you know, where am I going? And finding addresses at night and all that stuff is draining.
Well, and you're right. In today's world, it's sad that we have to think about that, but that's really the reality of what we live in, that you kind of always got to be watching your back and making sure that you're safe, because you're right. You just never know.
You never know. Yeah, and then, like, I found it easier also for clients to do things by phone because they wouldn't have to clean their house for me to go over there, you know. They wouldn't be like, oh, man, I forgot you were coming today. And it just makes the process a lot easier for everybody. I really like helping people. So, I studied finance in college. So I was always very good with numbers. But I knew that I would never be, like, a doctor. Like, I don't like the sight of blood or anything like that. But I do like helping people. So this was definitely a way that I could accomplish that. You know, because a lot of times people aren't financially prepared for, like, the future, you know, whether that's saving for retirement or, God forbid, like, a critical illness like cancer or heart attack. You know, nowadays people survive those things, but financially, they're left devastated. So there's things out there that we can help people put in place before something happens to protect their income, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I know you just said you studied finance in college. Mm-hmm. So is insurance something that you always knew that you wanted to get into, or was there kind of another route? How did you, I know you said you do this with your mom. How did you get into this side of things? And is this kind of what your plan always was?
You know, growing up, I was never one of those kids that you would ask someone, what do you want to do when you grow up? I'd be like, I have no idea. Like, you know, I wouldn't be like, oh, I want to be a vet or I don't know. So I just studied finance because I knew I was good with numbers. And at the time I thought, you know, I maybe wanted to be like a stockbroker or investment, things like that. But that was around 2007, 2008 when the stock market was crashing. And then I realized, oh, this is not really something I would like to do because it's not something I can control, mm-hmm. right? Like I can't control the stock market goes up or down. And it just seems very stressful. I have met some people that were stockbrokers. And, you know, one guy told me a story that, like, he had in his bathroom, like, the ticker symbols, you know, the thing that tells you, like,
oh, yeah.
how the stocks are doing. And I was like, man, that, I've always thought, even though I never knew what I really wanted to do, I always knew that I wanted to work to make a living, not live to work, you know,
type yeah,
of thing. 100%. So I got into insurance because I think like one summer I was in between jobs and my mom needed an appointment setter. So like we talked about it and she was like, yeah, all you have to do is call these people and set up appointments for me. So I started doing that and I had a previous phone experience because I had worked at a call center. So I was fine with making phone calls and I just went with her one day like, oh, let me go to one of these appointments I've made, you know, for you. And I saw what she did, and I thought, well, it seems like something good to do because you're helping people, and it's just really filling out paperwork at the end of the day, you know. Yeah, there's a lot involved in sales, right? Like,
right.
Psychologically and emotionally, especially with life insurance, for example, we're selling something that you can't feel or touch, right? It's not like a shoe that I'm selling you.
Yeah, you'll never
that
see
you can
it.
Try. Exactly, you know. So for me, it was interesting learning all that about sales and all that. And yeah, my mom has been in insurance since the 80s. But it was never like that thing where like, oh, my mom does this, so I'm going to do that. It just happened.
Just kind of fell into place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I know you said you were raised in Miami, yes?
Mm-hmm. All right.
So what... Talk to me about what growing up in Miami was like, because I think a lot of times when, and this is just me speaking, but
yeah.
I would say a lot of times that when at least I see stuff of Miami, it's always the spring break stuff. It's always like, it's this big rowdy place. Like there's a lot of people, it's a crazy place to be. So what was life like growing up in Miami? Because I'm sure that you would sometimes see those spring break crowds, but it's not always like that, I would assume.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's like, I think when I tell people I live in Miami, they picture me by a pool.
Laying on the beach with a margarita.
You know, exactly, you know, like a vacation mode, you know. And that's not reality. You know, Miami is a city that's very diverse as far as the people that live here. I find it strange now that when I tell somebody I was born and raised in Miami, they're like, oh, wow. And sometimes it makes me feel almost like a minority because it seems like everybody comes from somewhere else, right? Like my mm-hmm. parents were not born here. They came from somewhere else. But what I mean by that is like people that come from other states to live in Miami now as, you know, they're in their 20s or 30s, whatever the case may be. But yeah, but growing up in Miami, you know, it's your typical, I think, American life. You know, people work, pay bills. You go on vacation when you can. You know, we're lucky and fortunate that we have Disney a few hours away. So that was always something, you know, we would do every few years or so. And yeah, I was fortunate that I went to a school that had a lot of diversity in the kids that went to the school. You know, it wasn't like segregated. Like I hear that a lot, like in California, right? But like people just stick with their clique.
Mm-hmm.
Miami is very cliquish though, but it's not exclusive of people, you know. So
yeah, and do you think that do you think that growing up in Miami and being in Miami your life has had an impact on your experiences just because you know the area, you know some different places to get involved in, and that's how you were kind of able to propel yourself to kind of do that side hobby of being in the band? And do you think that's been impactful on your experiences?
Yeah, for sure, because just growing up here, yeah, like I know where I can go, where not to go, that type of stuff. And yeah, it's like everything, you know. I think I'm more open to different things than like other people might be. Like they're very stuck in their ways, and I can be very flexible. Like I can be in a group and just like take the good out of it and leave the bad there, you know. Like I don't take that with me, I guess, you know. And I've noticed people from like other places, they're kind of stuck in their ways, and like they don't get Miami, it seems, you know, because they people compare things to where they grew up or how things are where they are from, you know.
Right.
And like, even though I've never really lived anywhere else, I don't think I would be like somewhere and be like, oh, in Miami we used to do this, or you know, like. I believe being present where you are. And
keeping an open mind.
Exactly. And if this is how they are here, well, let's see what that's about, you know, and then decide if that's for me or not.
So just in case any guests are, or guests, any people of the podcast listening are looking at making a trip to Miami, is there anything you would recommend? Like you should really do this, or go see this, or eat here, or drink there in Miami. Do you have any recommendations for people?
You know, definitely for tourists, they need to check out 8th Street, Southwest 8th Street. It's a very popular street. They have like a trolley that takes you up and down the street, so you don't have to be walking. You know, and they have like a lot of historic things of Cuba, if people are into that, because, you know, we do have a big Cuban exile here in Miami, especially. But there's always good food. There's great art, if you're into like art, things like that. Dancing at night, there's a few places you can go. And it's not as crowded as, say, like South Beach, you know. South Beach is good, like if you want to go during the day, go to the beach. But like being there at nightlife, it's like, people here in Miami, we don't really go to South Beach unless we're going to the beach, you know, during the day.
Right.
Another hot spot that, you know, a lot of younger people like is Wynwood. That's Wynwood. There's a lot of places to go there as well. And it's really popular nowadays. The same thing at night, it gets super crowded. So just, you know, be prepared for that, and parking. Parking is always a mission anywhere you go. It's not as bad as like New York or something like that. But, you know.
Still an adventure.
Arm yourself with patience. Yeah, for sure.
Lorena, so as we kind of wrap up here, one question I always ask as a final question is, whether it's something that you shared today or maybe you haven't shared it, what is something that you want people to take away from your story, your experiences, or this podcast?
Great question. I would say, like, make decisions about things that you want in life, because a lot of times, not making a decision is making a decision in a way, right? So definitely decide what you want in life and just go after it, because, you know, like I think Drake says, you only live once. you know, so make the best of it. And every day you get to start a new day. You know, like people like to wait for New Year's to start doing things, but why not start today or tomorrow, you know?
Yeah, no, I like that. Really good advice. You know, the nice thing about these podcasts is I let my guests do the sign-off. So you can give the sign-off. Say, see you next week. Thanks for listening. Whatever you want to say, it's up to you.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, just make it an awesome day today, and keep listening to Trent's podcast.